Okay, since we have a short-winded preacher tonight, anybody have a testimony? Take a few minutes. Anybody have a testimony? Something you want to thank the Lord for, praise Him for? Something He's done for you? Joyce? All right, amen. Tom? Amen. All right. Somebody else? Diane. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I'm out of the wheelchair now, by the way, so. All right, that is a blessing. Amen. That is a blessing. All right, anybody else? Print time. Awesomely. Daryl?
Yeah, well, this is an election year, and it's frequently we get an opportunity to oppose corrupt government and corrupt government.
Amen.
Slightly more honest.
Slightly more honest. That is true. Amen. Thank the Lord that we do have a country where we are allowed to vote, and it could be a lot worse. It could be in other countries where it's a lot tougher. So that is a blessing. I saw a couple different hands over there. Anybody else? All right. Been helping you for a little while. Amen. That's a blessing. All right. Anybody else? Last chance. Lord might come tonight and you've had your last chance to praise Him. All right. I appreciate Bob coming down again. I appreciate Ethan filled in for Bob at Central Baptist so Bob could fill in for me down here. So I appreciate both these guys doing that, and then Ethan came down tonight to be with us, and so that's a blessing, and I asked Bob to come up and preach for us again tonight. Appreciate him filling in kind of at last-minute notice. Just got a hold of him yesterday, and hopefully won't do this again to him any time near in the future.
Proverbs chapter 17 in your Bible. Find the major book of Psalms, and the first one to the right is the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter and 22 verses later. That's where we will start out tonight. Brother Ken's father asked me what is our text tonight, or which passage are we going to be using to start from, and I said, there really isn't one. We're going to bounce around a little bit. A lot of it's going to be in Proverbs. I think I've said all I can say about I do appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we appreciate this church very much, Sarah and I. And it's good to know that there is a place that you can go to and hear good sound preaching.
Amen.
Also to know that there is, I don't know, the Bible says these are the last days, and the Bible says that in the last days, it's going to be hard to find good preaching. And I don't know, maybe 5 years from now, there will be five in the state of Ohio. I don't know. Maybe 10 years from now, there's only a handful in the United States of America. I don't know. But this church is strong. And that is a good assurance to, I guarantee you that's a good assurance to other pastors in the state of Ohio. And so that is a good thing, if not in this area alone. But I do want to bring you a message tonight out of the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 17, verse 22. And the topic being God's health care plan. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, and God's Word says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Let's pray. God, we do thank You for this day as has already been prayed tonight. God, we thank You for the blessings, the bountiful blessings You've given us. God, we thank You for the classes that were taught this morning, the classes that were taught this morning in this church, and as Ethan taught this morning, we thank You for that. God, we thank You for those that worked with the junior church this morning and those that worked with the van or the bus route this morning. God, we thank You for that. God, we thank You for those that were in attendance this morning. And as we talked about the difference between multitude and disciples, God, they listen to Your Word and they care about You. God, we know that You care about us, and we know that You are a good God and faithful, and Lord, that You speak through Your preaching and through prayer. God, we lift up those that were mentioned this morning one last time. God, we lift up those that are hurting in this church in their bodies and with their jobs and their vehicles, God, those that are struggling. Lord, we lift up the families that make up this church, the relationships, God, the parents and the children. God, we thank You for them. We ask that You would protect this church, that You would surround it, God, with Your mighty host. And with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God, that You would keep away the devil and sin. God, we ask that You would empower this building and that You would empower these people, God, to serve You and to follow You. Lord, we know that You're faithful, and as long as they follow You, that will be the case. God, we thank You for what You're going to do in this next hour, in this next period of time. In Jesus' precious and empowering name I pray. Amen. We do find here in Proverbs chapter 17, in the 22nd verse, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now, there are many that would say that the pulpit's not the place to talk about politics. Can I tell you, there's a difference between somebody giving their opinion and somebody preaching the Word of God. A preacher ought to stay away from giving his personal opinion. A preacher ought to stay away from being, especially from being divisive and trying to divide the church, or jumping on a soapbox or a hobby horse and giving his 2 cents about something. Preacher should preach the Word of God, as Paul said to Timothy, and to be instant, in season and out of season. Not to come up with the latest things to preach about. Well, I'll tell you what, prophecy is pretty big right now. I'll tell you what, if I put together a good series on prophecy, we'll probably pack this place out on such and such a night or such and such a morning. Well, I'll tell you what, you know what people are interested in right now? We ought not to be looking for the itching ear. But when the people are hurting in a certain area, it's good to preach a certain area. But you're simply preaching the truth of the Word of God. And so when you hear the preacher get up and he preaches on a certain topic, and you say, there's a separation of church and state. There ought to be a time in your life when you look to the preaching on those topics. Hey, it ought to be that when there's things going on in the world and there's things going on in the United States of America, the truth ought to come out of the church house. The truth ought to come out from behind the pulpit. God uses His preacher, and God uses His preaching, and God uses the teaching structure of the church of God to make sure people know what the truth is. And if the church is not to preach the truth on every topic, the entire whole counsel of God, it's being irresponsible. Don't be afraid or don't be timid about the preacher when he gets up and preaches the truth out of the Word of God, regardless of what the topic might be. This is a good church, as I already said before, and this is a sound pulpit. And this pulpit has studied. In this pulpit, and I'm not talking about tonight, I'm talking about Wednesday night or next Sunday morning, you understand what I'm saying? But this pulpit has prayed. This pulpit is on fire for God. Rest assured that this pulpit is a good place to hear preaching on politics. That this pulpit is a good place to hear preaching on all the issues pertaining to the Word of God. All things godly. And as health care is a debate in this nation, and as health care is a topic that's on the radio waves and on the television and on your mind, and I got to be honest with you, just on my mind, just on my heart, and put onto an outline, and going to be preached tonight. So I pray it's a blessing to you as well. And if it's an important issue, then we ought to look to what God says about it. And if it's something that it causes a lot of people, I don't know how I feel about that, or what does the Word of God say about that? That's a good question to ask. Don't ever separate God from any important issue in your life. Don't put God in a box. And your serious issues, well, God doesn't really have anything to do with that. Always go to God with your important issues. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. If you're righteous tonight, and there's instability in this nation, or there's instability in your home, you ought to run into the strong tower of the name of the Lord and be safe. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The word shall is one of the strongest words in the English language, and it says that when you go to God for wisdom, He'll give it to you. He shall give it to you. Let's go to God tonight to see what God has to say about our health. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, by the way, health care is keeping you healthy, keeping you from getting sick. And we know that in the Word of God there are things that tell us how to keep us from getting sick. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Is your spirit broken? Your spiritual status, how is it tonight? Is it broken? Can I tell you, there is going to be a time when your spirit's broken. There is going to be a time when somebody, maybe you've got a family of one, maybe you've got a family of five, there's going to be a time when maybe you or your friends or somebody close to you, their spirit is broken. If you've ever looked across at somebody whose eyes are tearing up and they're losing their voice because of something that's happening in their life, or you've sat in a hospital room, or you've sat next to somebody, and you know that their spirit is broken. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's what the Word of God says. Maybe it's circumstances. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's discouragement or despair that has your spirit broken. Are you being tossed about in the storms of life? The Bible uses the sea as an illustration of the world. The Antichrist comes up out of the sea, comes out of the world. A lot of our problems, a lot of our tribulations that we go through in this life are referred to just as a storm on the sea. And even as Peter walked out of that boat and walked out toward Jesus and started to be overtaken by the water and started to be overtaken by the elements that were there, maybe tonight your spirit is broken. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, I tell you what, I know what it's like to have my spirit broken. Maybe that's you tonight. Tonight, you can say, tonight my spirit's broken. Can I tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I read before, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Run into the joy of the Lord. You can be filled with the joy of the Lord tonight. Every inch of your body, from your head to your toe, from inside out, can be filled with, overflowing with, the joy of the Lord, and a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. Psalms 51, what a great chapter. I'm sure you've gone through it on your Wednesday night study through the book of Psalms, if you're still doing that. Psalms 51, in verse 8 says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." David was going through some things. "That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." How do you fix that broken spirit? How do you avoid that broken spirit from ever happening? Be filled with joy. With the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. God provides and promises joy. It is something that you have available to you. It's not something that you have to work for or earn. It's not a bonus once you reach a certain level of spirituality. It's something that God reaches out to you, and it's yours for the taking. Jesus Christ said, "All things that the Father has given to me, I give to you." Psalms 126 and verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Isaiah 51 and verse 11 says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head." The next verse he starts out by saying, "I, even I, am he that comforteth you." And we've got a God that is reaching out with that joy. We've got a God which heaven is filled with joy. We've got a God that has created angels for the sole purpose of singing and praising God, which brings joy, which fills the house of heaven with joy. And God can reach down into this room and into this building and can fill every single heart and every single soul and every single body, and every single room of this building can shake and be filled with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's the difference between having a broken spirit tonight and being filled with joy? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Step number one of God's health care plan is having a merry heart over a broken spirit. There's nothing more sad than seeing somebody being complacent with a lack of joy. There's nothing more sad than seeing somebody being complacent with the lack of the blessings of God. When you can push them, and you can push them closer to God, and you can lift them up, and allow God to put His arms around them, and to use His Holy Spirit to fill them with all the blessings of God. Step number one would be to have a merry heart over a broken spirit. If you'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, you don't have to keep your place in any of these verses, I don't believe. Proverbs chapter 3. Step number one in God's health care plan, a merry heart over a broken spirit. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. God speaking to you tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." I wonder how long it was before doctors realized there was marrow in bones. The Bible says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil." What's going to happen? "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Step number one was a merry heart over a broken spirit. Step number two is the fear of the Lord over comfort in sin. How can you be healthy? Avoid sin. How can you avoid sin? Fear the Lord. When you get an understanding, I mean, when you really get a grip on the fact of how holy our God is, I mean, when you really start to understand how holy and how separate from our minds and from our carnal nature that God has saved us from, when you really start to get a grip on how holy and pure our God is, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And He's angry at the wicked every day. God literally hates sin. And God allows punishment, and God allows judgment on sin. And can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer is no. Taking sin close to you, allowing sin to have a spot in your life, you're going to get burned. And how can you stay healthy? Well, don't get burned. Being burned probably won't help you very much. But he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Turning to the right to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter number 10 and the 27th verse. Proverbs 10 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Can I tell you, once you have a disease and the disease has taken over your body, it's kind of late to start avoiding whatever it was that caused that disease to overtake your body. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord will prolong your days. And the Bible says that to avoid sin will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Can I tell you, if you're not addicted to any type of drug today, whether it be prescription or not, if you're not addicted to any type of alcohol or it has no place in your life, emotionally or physically addicted, if you're not addicted to any type of anything you put in your mouth or anything you put in your ears or anything you put before your eyes or anything you put in your life or whatever it might be or any emotion you latch onto or anything like that, if you're not there, fear the Lord and abstain from that thing. Don't give it 1 ounce of your time. Don't give it 1 ounce of your body. Give it to God. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Turn to the right again, just a few pages to chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And again, verse number 27. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Can I tell you the devil's out to get you? Can I tell you he's got snares that are out there to get you? Can I tell you the wages of sin is death? Can I tell you the payment for having sin in your life is death? And the Bible says that if you fear the Lord and if you depart from evil, that your days will be prolonged, that your life will be prolonged, and that your health will be promoted. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And I tell you, honestly, for anybody that believes the world wants nothing to do with God, this world is looking for a fountain of youth. This world is looking for a way to stay young. This world, you turn on your computer, you turn on your television, you turn on your radio, it's nothing but health, 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 health. How can you look younger? How can you feel younger? How can you stay healthy? How can you be healthy? How can you take one more step closer to being healthy or looking healthy to other people? The world wants a fountain of life. And it's in these walls. And it's in this world. Or it's in this Word. And it comes from this preaching. And it's a light that shines from you. You have the fountain of life. You have the fountain of youth to give to a world that is hungry for it. That is looking for it. But would you go to somebody whose lungs are riddled with cancer, who's got a cigarette in their hand, and take health advice from them? You really wouldn't. So why would the world go to your unhealthy mind and go to your unhealthy mouth and go to your unhealthy lifestyle and go to all the miserable mess that's in you. And I'm not saying it is, all right? I see some of you looking at me like, what did the pastor tell you? He didn't tell me anything, all right? But why would the world go to somebody who is unhealthy to get health advice from you? It's got to start in you for it to be able to get to them. And the fountain of life is the fear of the Lord. And your days will be prolonged, and your health will be promoted by fearing the Lord over being comfortable in sin. Job chapter 20, verse 23 says, when he is about to fill his belly, talking about a person, when he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he's eating. You want to be healthy? Don't look to the nutrients of the world. You want to be healthy? Look to the nutrients of God's Word. Because the wrath of God, whether you're eating something that's organic or not, the wrath of God is upon those that are allowing sin in their life. And I hate to make the comparison of organic food to sin, but, you know, what can I say? But God looks down and does not judge someone based on whether or not they're trying their hardest in this way or that way, but He looks down and judges them based on whether they're obedient to His Word or not. And if you want to be healthy, not only are you going to have a merry heart and actively seek a merry heart over a broken spirit, but you'll have the fear of the Lord present in your life over comfort and apathy in sin. Sin brings physical pain and death. There are people making terrible decisions that result in STDs. Why? Because it's wrong. Because it's a sin. There are people making bad decisions that are resulting in cancer. Again, I say not all cancer is a result of that individual's sins. We understand that. Kidney failure from drinking. And it won't take you very long to live in this life and not run across somebody and not lose somebody that you had a relationship with because of choices they made because of sin that was in their life. And it didn't just have a psychological or spiritual effect on them. It had a literal, physical effect in their life. Sin. It has a heavy burden. Can I tell you, it's because of sin that your Savior lost His life. It causes physical death. It causes physical pain. When sin is presented in your life, flee from it. The Bible says run from it. When you see that path in front of you, run from it. Hide from it. Under the wings of God. In fact, the Bible teaches us that all death and pain comes from sin. Physical, spiritual, emotional. What do? Repent from it and turn to God. There are many people that say that because you're a Christian, I sound very negative tonight, and I don't intend to. There are many people that say, I'm a Christian, God doesn't get mad at me. He would never allow me to die or feel severe pain because of a sin. God's a merciful God. He would never treat me that way. The Bible says in Psalms 106 and verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance. God hates sin. God has a real and a hot fire hatred and wrath and judgment against all sin. Small ones, big ones, little ones, cute ones, nice ones, whatever you might want to call it, God abhors and hates and has a hot wrath for sin. Hell is a holy place that God has separated and designed and built for sin. You say, what would God do with sin in my life? What does God do with sin? And what is the end result of what God's going to do with sin? He's going to cast it in the lake of fire. That's how God feels about any sin you allow in your life. Isaiah 51, we read verse 11 earlier, I believe we'll read verse 21, says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You need a peaceful night's sleep. Talked about this morning, you need a clean conscience. It'll have an effect on you. It'll have an effect on your body. You need peace, and there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Step number 3. A merry heart over a broken spirit. The fear of the Lord over comfort in sin. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You say, "Preacher, are you saying that the words that come out of my mouth will actually affect me health-wise?" I'm not saying that. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 is saying that. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Why? First of all, why would you want to do that to somebody? Why would you, when you know that the power of your words can literally cause a pain like you're taking a knife and sticking it into a person's body? Guard your words. Guard your communication. Young men, young ladies, it's not just an expected thing that you would talk a certain way to your father or mother. It could actually feel like you're taking a sword and cutting right into them with it. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's quite a difference between taking a sword and stabbing her with it. With your words. With your words. Guard your words. Which, by the way, we're not going to go there, but in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that every word will be judged. Every word will be judged. How can you be healthy? Sound speech over evil communication. A merry heart over a broken spirit. The fear of the Lord over comfort in sin. Step number 3 of God's health care plan, sound speech over evil communication. If you'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. These are good verses. Proverbs chapter 4. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that we ought to use words that are sound in doctrine. Words that are biblically sound. Guard your words. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Flesh. Not emotions. Not spirit. It says flesh. Flesh. You want to have a healthy body. You want to have a healthy brain. You want to have a healthy heart. You want to have healthy hands. Watch your words. Watch your words. Watch your communication. Communication is a two-way street. It goes in and it goes out. Watch your communication. You cannot possibly allow so much stuff into your ears and expect it not to affect you. We'll look at that in a moment. But in Proverbs 4 and verse 20 through 22, it says, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Now how do words go in your ears? How do words go in your eyes? You've got to read them. You've got to read them.
So how can you be physically healthy? Reading the Word of God has a physical effect on you. A physical effect on you. My body, and I've heard a lot of people say it, now you can't just put the Bible down and lay your head on it and it's going to morph into you. Somehow reading it does. It literally helps your body. It's organic. I don't know what that means, but it's organic. It means it helps you somehow. Let them not depart from thine eyes, because they're going to make you healthy. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them close to you, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Turn again to chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 17 says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. The Bible tells us very clearly, we won't go into it, the Bible tells us very clearly that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. That you and I are to take the Word of God and to communicate it to others, not just the unsaved. To all, to others. That we're to take the Word of God, put it before our eyes, and that makes us healthy. And then we're to put it in our heart, and that makes us healthy. And then we're to put it in our mind and in our conscience, which makes us healthy. And then we're to communicate it to other people. And being that type of an ambassador will literally make your body healthy. Witnessing makes your physical body healthier. Maybe it would be like running or jogging with a Jesus Saves t-shirt on. Your witnessing will literally make your body healthy by speaking it out to others. Proverbs 13 and verse 17 says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. If you would have tape recorded all the things that you said this week and put them on a scale, with one of them being a wicked messenger falling into mischief and the other one being a faithful ambassador being healthy, which one would weigh out the other? That might have something to do with your health. Step number 3 in God's health care plan is sound speech over evil communication. Because being a faithful ambassador of the Word of God, of the Gospel of Christ, being a faithful ambassador, which the New Testament tells us to be, makes you healthy. First Corinthians, you know this verse, chapter 15 and verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You can put up a front, you can put on a face, you can paint it on, you can plaster it on. You can do whatever you might want to do to look good. If behind the scenes your music that you're pumping in isn't good, and if behind the scenes the language you're using in your heart and in your mind, it's going to corrupt your manners, your testimony to others. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What would those close to you say about your communication? The things you allow in, the things you allow out. What would your own ears say about your communication, your words? When no one's around and you're the only one that can hear yourself, what would your ears say? Can I take a step beyond that and say, what does God say about your communication? Has God spoken your heart in the past on this very subject and on this very topic? What does God say about your communication? Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So you cannot speak anything that is corrupt. But it also says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and defile the man. So the things you're speaking out of your mouth are coming out of your heart, and you're not supposed to speak anything out of your mouth that's corrupt. Therefore, you shouldn't have anything in your heart that is corrupt. Guard your words. Guard your heart. And by guarding your heart, you are guarding your words. How can you put a filter on the things running through your mind? How can you put a filter on the things running through your ears? How can you put a filter on the things coming out of your mouth? You can do it by guarding your heart. Guarding your heart by giving it to God. I mentioned Psalms 51 earlier, but verse 10 of that psalm says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That broken spirit, that perverted heart, that corrupt heart, that spirit of despair that's in you, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do you have a clean and healthy heart? Can you get this? Your spiritual EKG is your communication. When you check your heart and a doctor checks your physical heart and he runs a test on it and he looks at the readings of what it says, the way that you can check your spiritual heart the same way is to look and read out your communication. That will tell you the health of your heart. Corrupt communication coming out of your mouth is because it's in your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Ought to be our prayer to God. Step number one of God's health care plan was, and if you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God's first step is a merry heart over a broken spirit. The fear of the Lord over comfort in sin, understanding the wrath of God over sin. And you cannot take fire in your bosom and your clothes not be burned. You cannot take sin close to you. You cannot allow it to be in your life. And any sin committed was a sin concealed prior to that action. The fear of the Lord over comfort in sin. And step three was sound speech over evil communication. Your body language. Your words, the things you allow in. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I understand this context is of the Lord's Supper. The principle is true in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Their sin had an effect on their physical bodies. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if they would have judged themselves spiritually here, they wouldn't have been judged with this physical thing. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The sin that's dragging down your conscience, the sin that is brought forth in your heart by your communication, the sin that is around you because of the world and the influence of the world in your life, the sin that is in your life because of the lust of the flesh, the sin that is in your life because of the world and because of circumstances that you've given into or that have been brought upon you, whatever the case might be, the sin that's in your life that's dragging you down, it is, and we've seen this tonight, having an effect on your physical body. From your head to your toe, it is having an effect on your physical body. And we know that a merry spirit or a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we know that our communication will corrupt our manners, and not only that, but it'll have an effect on our body, and we've looked at that tonight. But can I tell you that the chastening of the Lord on your bodies could be because of sin? And that your physical health could be promoted, and your physical health could be made better simply by drawing closer to God. By cleansing yourself of spiritual sin. Wouldn't you like tonight to hand your conscience that is weighed down by sin, and that is being punished by sin, and that is corrupt and being hurt, wouldn't you like to hand that conscience to God tonight? And for Him to take that burden, and for Him to take that weight off of you. And for Him to cleanse your conscience. He'll clean it for you tonight. Is there a sin, as the Bible says, is there a sin in the camp? Is there a seed of sin in your heart? Is sin at the door? Is there sin close by? Has God been pointing something out to you and saying, hey, you better watch that thing? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. He's trying to separate you from the world. He's trying to move you away from sin. He uses judgment. He uses chastening. And you need to get away from that thing. And beforehand, He's sending you a warning shot. And He's saying, get away from that thing. Because when you allow it into your life, you're going to affect him, and you're going to affect her, and you're going to affect his body, and you're going to affect this church, and God wants to keep this place clean, and God wants a pure vessel, and God wants a pure church that He's going to separate from Himself, that He's going to make His bride. He wants it to be pure and clean. He wants you to abstain and to avoid sin. And is there sin at the door? Is there a sin in the camp? Is there something that God has been speaking to you about? Wouldn't it be great for you to come to this altar tonight and for you to take that thing out and for you to lay it on this altar, and God would cleanse your mind, your conscience, your spirit. He'd give you joy. That would be your strength. He'd give you joy. That would be health to your navel. He would give you a joy and a peace that you cannot even comprehend, that cannot be put into words, that all the books in the world cannot record. But one day, face to face with God, then you'll know that peace, then you'll know that joy. But if you take that sin out of your life tonight through prayer, through kneeling in your heart at the altar before God and giving it to Him, it could be joy. It could be peace. But the topic tonight, it could be health to your body. Do you want to be healthy? What does God say about being healthy? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Is your spirit broken? Can I tell you, it happens. Is your spirit broken? There's joy in the Lord. Find it tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What does God say about our health? Notice tonight we didn't look into staying sober over alcohol. We know that in Proverbs and many other places God speaks on the topic. God talks about the wages of sin, the effect it has on you. God uses many avenues of approach to get sin out of your life. One of them, and we talked about it tonight, and we know that not all health problems, not all physical problems are because of your sin that you're guilty of, but all health problems are because of sin. Is there something in your life that God's been speaking to you about? Your conscience is being weighed down. Your heart is being corrupted by communication. There's something in your life that God says, you know what? I will give you peace. I will clean your conscience. I'll give you joy from above. God, we thank you for the preaching of your word tonight. God, if there's somebody, if it's me tonight that needs to make a decision, God, speak to us right now through your Holy Spirit. Draw us to you that we might do that, that we might solidify in our hearts tonight at this altar or from our seat to take a step closer to you, to purify our minds and hearts of sin. In Jesus' precious name, amen.